listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that choppy outro there to the break that I completely missed. But you know, I'm wearing this shirt today in honor of our guest, my guest of Victor Boot, and it says at the bottom, "Celebrate Diversity." It has like 16 pistols on it, so it's my "Celebrate Diversity" T-shirt because I think you can say that we both have a love of guns and what you can do with guns and travel and adventure, and I have never been arrested by the CIA or put in jail, so we don't have that in common. But I did all that as like a long intro because I've always been, you know, I'm a novelist. I write just crazy books, right? But I try to keep it real. But I've always been fascinated with these international mavericks, these guys that don't fit the mold, that break free, like, you know, outlaw bikers or pirates in the old days, you know, that have their own moral code, and it may not be one that everybody on Fox News would agree with, but have their own loyalty to their own country, their own friends, and there's certainly something to say to that, and I'm glad that you're free, and with that we can discuss anything at all.
Okay, great to have you, Matt. You know, it's a pleasure for me to speak to you and all your audience. Well, the one small update, I was not arrested by CIA, but by DEA, because accordingly the rumors I had while I've been in a lockup, CIA refused to go after me because they have nothing on me. So they call the dirty, you know, staff masters, DEA, who are specialized in a, you know, a sting operation and all dirty jobs. Unfortunately, absolutely right. You know, in all the good times, 80s and 90s, at least there was a certain respect or professionalism of, you know, whether the CIA operatives and their counterparts from Russia, from other countries. I myself grew up reading the books of the French novelist Gérald de Villiers. He wrote like over 400, you know, novels, basically based about, you know, spy story. And you couldn't believe when I was in Bangkok jail, you know, one day somebody shows up to visit me. So I'm coming there. There is an old bald man sitting, giving me his card. I'm looking on it. And I was like, wow, are you the same writer who wrote this, you know, SIS series? He said, yes, because his hero was one of the Austrian CIA, you know, noble spy who been going to every country and, you know, having some adventures. Where he was good is about his book you can use as a basically, you know, manual about this historical geopolitical situation and struggle is usually between bad guys, either the Soviets or somebody else. And, you know, all his 400 books been covering basically since 60s. Can you believe he died like, what, maybe 8 years ago? Because when he visited me with his wife, and he came several times, you know, to visit me, so we have a very lengthy discussion. For me, it was very fun, because for me, he was a great source of that kind of the geopolitical, you know, stories from within, you know, presented through this, of course, novel. It was always a little bit sex there too, like James Bond. And, you know, once I told him, oh, look, everything is fine. You're doing a fantastic job. But why are you adding on every book such kind of the, you know, even improper sometimes, you know, obscene scenes with the sex? I said, Victor, sorry, but how am I going to sell them? If there is no sex in the books, nobody will buy them.
Yeah, you know, I'm so envious of somebody who can write so many novels. You know, I've written six long full-length novels, but I'm very slow. I get off the track. But there's so much that can be truthful that's in novels, much better than the dry position papers that academics put out. You know, guys that go to conferences, or maybe they were colonel or a Navy captain. And some of these people on Fox News, I just wonder what life did they live that they're such idiots that they can be considered experts, and they're saying basically gravity doesn't exist, or 2 + 2 = 17, you know, and they're considered experts. And you see a lot of very true things in novels that are written by some people that are old former spooks or former commando types. And that, for me, it's made me very interested in writing very realistic novels. You know, one of my favorite movies this is from the 70s, I think. It was a novel, I think it was called 7 Days of the Condor. It was made into a film with Robert Redford called 3 Days of the Condor. And Navy SEALs liked it because he used Ingram Mach-10 in this. And the Mach-10 was a real piece of crap, square block, blowback machine gun with a big suppressor. And in that movie, a man dressed as a mailman comes into a CIA safe house in a New York City apartment and shoots everybody with a Mach-10. And the SEALs always loved that. We always said the Mach-10 is the best submachine gun for a shootout inside a telephone booth. Also can use as an anchor or to drive in tent stakes, you know, equally good. But in this movie, Robert Redford is a CIA analyst at a proprietary cover business where they read all the books. This is before computers could do this automatically. So they're reading all spy novels, and they're compressing them into the gist of the story, and trying to find if codes are being sent out through novels that these can be distributed, you know, worldwide as just fiction, but maybe they're giving messages to agents. So I always thought that movie was fascinating because in that book in the early 70s, they're saying we have to even read the fiction novels about spies and spooks and commandos, because sometimes they're written under a pseudonym by former spies to avoid their non-disclosure agreements that they sign when they leave CIA or other situations, and they're not supposed to talk about their former life. So they write a novel. And the novel has more information in it than if they wrote a paper and tried to publish it. But anyway, that's why I was really hooked on the idea of finding truth inside of fiction novels.
Yeah,
maybe you should
write
a book.
Because, you know, our brain is basically, you know, built in such a way we cannot even imagine in a wild imagination nothing unless we saw it. So we are, as a human beings, we can't just, you know, made up the thing, because there is, you know, all the bricks of your fantasy, they're still in the real life. So you're absolutely right. If you are a proper analyst, you can go through the novel and basically pick up very important parts of information. That's, you know, what was, you know, important. You're absolutely right. You know, there is a kind of we're losing the, I don't know what it is, IQ, or if you see for last 30, 40, 50 years, there is this decline of the, you know, it's like affecting worldwide, especially it's seen in America in the movies. We don't see any more movies with the proper, you know, heroes or anti-heroes like used to be with the Steve Seagal. By the way, I just recently was with him because he is also in Russia. Maybe one of these days we can also, you know, bring him to the show and discuss his all good times. And for me, he was kind of always that, you know, master, you know, martial arts, and, you know, his movies where he would be very agile.
Who is he? Who is he you're talking about?
It's a Steve Seagal.
Oh, Seagal, sure. Steve. Yeah. He's like pretty heavy now. He's put on some weight. But for real, he went to Japan. For true, actual story, he went to Japan at the lowest level, like I wash the dojo. You know, I clean the floor of the dojo and live full immersion, learn Japanese, learn Aikido, which is a fantastic
Yeah, correct.
martial art. You know, it's not to turn that into a martial arts school story, but I have a lot of respect for Aikido because it's not a sparring sport. You know, you don't spar in Aikido, but if somebody comes behind you and grabs your shoulder, you know, you just are going to react and deal with the guy right away,
Correct,
instinctively.
correct.
And you know, it's related, of course, to jujitsu and other martial arts. But yeah, Steven Seagal is legit, and he is also somebody. And I know others that have moved to Russia because, you know, that this is what they call the in some Russians refer to as the Third Rome. This is a very old concept. Even I was a Russian studies major in university in the 70s. And the concept of Third Rome is Rome in Italy is First Rome, then Orthodox Rome, Constantinople, and then the you know, the Saint Cyril and the monks come to Moscow, and that Moscow as a Third Rome is the final Rome that saves the West, that preserves the Christian ortho culture through Orthodoxy, while you know, Constantinople falls to the Turks, the Muslims, and Rome, of course, falls into decadence and corruption. The, you know, popes who are maybe there's two popes at a time, or a pope with, you know, girlfriends. I mean, we're talking old history, but that the pure faith comes to Russia. And you can see this even today. The you can watch videos on YouTube, the Russian military cathedral outside of Moscow. I recommend people look at this. Can you imagine the United States building a military cathedral? I mean, it's a concept that you can't even comprehend in the USA or Europe now, a military cathedral. And you know, there is the who is this the singer? He sings Yaruski. His name is the blonde hair. He has
Shaman, it's a
single.
singer, Shaman.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And that Yaruski song is
Yeah.
very powerful. And you know, the Russians in fighting in Donbass in Ukraine, they're not having to kidnap them off the street, you know, and force them into a van and give them 3 days training and then send them to the meat grinder. In Russia, the train comes in and the soldiers get off and people are greeting them, you know, and then the boys are signing up. They don't have to be you know, beaten to be recruited because there's a different motivation. And you know, this the Ukraine war, I mean, I don't know, people are even interested anymore, but in the Soviet Union, yeah, that's the video. It's unbelievable. It's very powerful. And he has a wooden cross around his neck, shaman. But in the Soviet Union, Ukraine was like Long Island is part of New York State, and Ukraine is you know, is becomes as a fluke of history of a separate go a country with this breakup of the Soviet Union. But Ukraine was part of Russia. Most of Ukraine was part of Russia. Lenin, for political purposes inside the Soviet Union, made part of that territory, which means like the frontier or the borderland. That's why it was always called the Ukraine, not a country called Ukraine. So it's a very sensitive subject for Ukrainians today if you say the Ukraine, because it's reminding them that it just means the borderland. You know, the area
Yeah.
between Europe and Russia, the frontier land. But yeah, that Lenin and then Khrushchev in the 60s, for just internal Soviet Union political reasons, transferred the authority to Kiev. But nobody was thinking at the end of the Soviet Union that this would be a separate country. And it is, but the eastern third of it is completely Russian speaking. Russian tradition, Russian culture. So from 2014 until today, this war has been going on. And I always say, whether we're discussing Iran or Ukraine, it depends on when your history starts. If your history starts in 2022, then yeah, Russia is invading. If your history starts centuries ago or in 2014, it's different. And in Iran, does your history start in 1953 with the CIA overthrowing the elected government? Or, when does your history start? But yeah, in both cases, the history is very complex and you have to peel things apart. I'm sorry to be, I just go on like that, but.
You're absolutely right. Let's start with this. Really, the Russia become kind of the third Rome, and the Russian saying was there is a third Rome in Russia, and there is never will be the fourth one. Well, literally, right now, Russia may be the most free country, despite we having this war with Ukraine. And it's also we feel it because Ukrainians using the technology, especially the Starlink of Elon Musk, are trying to attack by drones deep inside the territory. Of course, using the all intelligence provided by the American all spy 16 agencies, they're having how to avoid radar, how to fly low, and trying to attack refineries. But more often, they're attacking just normal buildings because they can't really heat heavy. But especially in the border areas, there is daily we have the casualties because they're attacking the residential buildings, they're attacking the schools, they're killing just a car with only civilians on it. And
Yeah, and
nevertheless, if I move.
the communication link for the guidance for these drones and also for
Correct.
sea drones in the Black Sea, the guidance
It's
system is a
all.
Starlink.
And recently, because the Russian side also used to have the Starlinks, but what they did, and Musk gave in to the Ukrainians' demand and actually used the white list, and block anything else which was not in this list provided by Ukrainians. So we are adapting, we launch our own system equivalent of the, Starlink. Of course, it will require some time to build in the same magnitude and scale, but it's going on. Still, it's a difficult terrain, and the war completely changed. So, if you look on the perspective, despite that we are in a war situation, government tried to keep Russia as open as possible. There is, as you saw from the many, stories, just look on the Russian TV. You see that the Moscow really now one of the most safest, most beautiful cities in the world, with the best second to the none public transport, with the fintech.
I
It's
know
very safe.
when you see the Russian metro system, and it's like each station is an art gallery.
Correct. And this is again the sharp contrast. That's why many foreigners now moving in Russia. And the Russia trying to work up a scheme where all those who are sharing conservative value, who are respecting the God, who willing to bring their kids, without this influence of the Epstein coalition of pedophile rings, they're basically welcome in Russia. Yes, of course, despite all the sanctions, we are trying to preserve at least normal life. As you're right, in Russia there is no forceful conscription. Everybody who go and sign the contract is voluntarily. They are paid for this one. So it's also painful because we also having a casualties. But let me tell you one thing. What was surprising that till now there is a lot of volunteers who are gathering whatever is needed for our boys in the front lines. If they are missing something, like sometimes there is generators, sometimes the winter stuff for them, sometimes this drones or thermal vision, something like that. Everything people gathering, we are preparing it and sending it, and everybody does it. So it's really become kind of the unifying entire nation for past 4 years. There is so many stories of volunteers, so many stories of those who went and risking their life in the front lines, helping civilians who've been liberated. And when you see these civilians who've been under the Ukrainian rules, for so many years, and they refused to be evacuated. They've been waiting
And
when the Russians...
And rebuilding, and already rebuilding cities like Mariupol. Rebuilding.
Correct, correct. Yeah, I'm, you know, quite often visiting also the Donbas region. And for me, you know, every time you're coming, you see these changes. It's very, very important. But as you're right, look, first of all, result of this war was planted long time ago with the Lenin decision, as you said, because let's go to the root reasons of this story. First of all, Bolshevik Revolution was a globalist project, you know, to overthrow the Tsarist regime and do the first social experiment.
Lenin was sent from New York to Finland Station to Moscow by New York bankers. Like sending a pathogen.
Not Lenin alone, because they sent him from Switzerland in the seal, you know, car of the railways, you know, through the Germany, enemy Germany, just intentionally, you know, keeping them. Let's send him to Russia. But the Trotsky and his group, basically the sole group of the world, Bolsheviks, basically, yeah, was sent from New York on the special, you know, steamer. They came about 800 of them, and they basically was the core of this Russian Revolution. What they
and
did
men,
in the
men
first
like,
year,
yeah, men like Armand Hammer, who was like a correct. George Soros, he's like kind of a George Soros of that century, and he is thinking, if I wreck Russian society, destroy it, then I will be on the ground floor of whatever is coming up. For grain deals, for oil deals, I can't come into the Russian society pre-Bolshevik Revolution. I'm nobody. But if we wreck the society and destroy it, whatever is rebuilt on that foundation, I'll be a kingmaker. And this is this is like color revolution formula.
And look, what's happened when this Bolshevik project globalist basically it was the first. Successful project of the globalist of destruction of the root, you know, culture of the, you know, Russia. What they did, first of all, they tried to rebrand and destroy the religion. We know
and
that
we're coming to a break. We got like 20 seconds to a break, but go ahead. Continue.
After the break, what they did, they start to pillaging the churches, removing every valuables and sending them by the truckloads to the West for sale. Because any normal church would accumulate at least several kilos of the gold, you know, a dozen kilos of the silver. And this was one of the reasons why they went after the church.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!